Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 8, text 50. Translation. When Brahma said, "Yes, let it be so," the most fortunate Drona, who was equal to Bhagavan, appeared in Vrijapur, Vrindavan, as the most famous Nanda Maharaj. And his wife, Dara, appeared as Mother Yasoda. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Because whenever Krishna appears on this earth, he superficially needs a father and mother, Drona and Dara. His eternal father and mother appeared on earth before Krishna as Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. In contrast to Sutapa and Prishnigarbha, they did not undergo severe penances and austerities to become the father and mother of Krishna. This is the difference between Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha. When Brahma said, "Yes, let it be so," the most fortunate Drona, who was equal to Bhagavan, appeared in Vrijapur, Vrindavan, as the most famous Nanda Maharaj, and his wife Dara appeared as Mother Yasoda. Here in the Bhagavatam, you know, Sukadeva Goswami is describing all the childhood pastimes of Krishna. The most beautiful. I mean, who can fail to be charmed by the pastimes of Krishna as a child? And putting everything else aside, theological understanding of what's happening. Obviously, from as a young man, I was brought up with the Christian perspective of God, and so a friend of mine gave me the. He ran off to join the Hare Krishnas. He kept sending me books all the time, as Hare Krishnas insist on doing. He kept sending me books. And he said, "It'll help you spiritually." And I really needed help spiritually anyway. So he sent lots of books. He'd send me boxes of books, actually. I wasn't very successful in reading them, but the pictures were really nice. And he said if I gave out the books, I would feel, you know, really ecstatic. So, I don't know. Hare Krishna used to produce a newspaper. Was it the ISKCON News? I think it was the ISKCON News. Ram's giving a nod there. I think it was the ISKCON News. We used to distribute that. So I went around the doors giving these things out to people. And it felt pretty good. My mother was like quite confused. But he sent me a book also. It was called a Krishna book. And he said, you know, if you read it before you go to bed at night, or if you read it at night, you'll dream of Krishna. I thought, that's okay, I'll try it. So I used to read the Krishna book at night as lots of devotees. I guess that was the practice, wasn't it? That's where he got it from. Hot milk, bananas, and the Krishna book. That was the Bhakta program. That was in the early 80s. And I think that's most of the Hare Krishna movement at that time was having hot milk, bananas, and reading the Krishna book, which is remarkable because, yeah, about a year ago I was trying to get myself in good shape, and all the magazines I was reading about health, they were saying, someone was saying, if you can't afford all these protein things, shakes and protein things, why don't you try bananas and hot milk before you go to bed at night? So, this is quite remarkable. Anyway, when I was reading the Krishna book, you know, it was nice, but then I began to think, how come it's always him all the time? How come everybody loves him, and his mother loves him, and the people love him, and the young ladies love him, and every single person loves him? And so it didn't quite all fit with the conception of divinity that I had grown up one, it seemed more easy to respect a divinity who was hung on a cross and tortured in his life than one who was inevitably enjoying himself in entirety. So, putting all that aside, just the lila of Krishna, Manobhirama, it's just extremely tasteful. It's just extremely charming. It's just, you know, what would you say? It appeals to the heart, even the hardest of hearts. Sukadeva Goswami writes that, who can deny the childhood pastimes of Krishna? They are the most charming. And as we absorb ourselves in those, then like Parikshit Maharaj, thoughts come to our minds like, wait a minute. Yeah, wait a minute. Before I lose myself entirely to the narrations of this child, you know, can you just explain to me again exactly how this child is God? How is this child Bhagavan? And so these verses here, spoken here, were preempted by Shukadev Parikshit Maharaj, or Shukadev Goswami. He was just saying, Tayo cho panishad bischa sankhya yogaischa sattvatai upagiyamanad mahatmyam hariya samanya tattvajam. He just described how Yasoda Mai was just trying to see into the mouth of Krishna because his brother had told him that he's eaten dirt today. He's eaten dirt, as children do. He's eaten dirt. And all the boys know, and Yasoda was just trying to pry his mouth open to look inside against his protest. And he was saying, everybody's lying. They're all lying. I didn't eat dirt. I promise you, Maya. I didn't eat dirt. And she's like, well, they may all be lying, but your brother, Balaram, he's not going to lie about it. He's not lying. Now open your mouth. And as she was prizing his mouth open, he was so afraid of his mother that his shaktis came to his aid and manifest the entire universe inside of his mouth, covering up the dirt. So when Yasoda saw the universe in her son's mouth, she became completely bewildered, as a mother would do, seeing the universe in her child's mouth. Her Vatsalya Prem was so strong. Vatsalya Prem is the most powerful form of love. Isn't it? When she bound, that Vatsalya Prem bound Krishna with a rope to a grinding mortar, and he could only stand and sob and cry because his mother had tied him to a grinding mortar. All his friends came along. They were all like, who tied you up, Kanaya? Balaram's like, I'll beat that person who tied you up, Kanaya. And then Krishna said, it was Maya. It was mother. You saw that. Balaram said, okay. But they all tried to untie the knot, but nobody could untie the knot. Nobody could untie that knot because it had been tied by the Vatsalya Prema, or the love of Mother Yasoda. Later, Nanda Maharaj came, and when he saw the whole situation, he was only able to untie the knot because of his parental affection for Krishna. So powerful, so very powerful. So, seeing the power of this love, this is Shukadeva Goswami says that this, the Tayo Upanishad Bhischa, Tayo the Vedas, Upanishads, Sankhya Yoga, all the Sankhya Yoga Shastras, all the sadhus, mahants, and rishis, Upagiyamanad Mahantya, they're all standing, glorifying the divinity of this person, the Mahatmyam, the glories, the greatness, the profundity of Bhagavan. This woman, Hariya Samanya Tat, she considers him to be no more than her own son, born of her. This is the astounding thing of Yasoda's devotion. This is the astounding thing of this personality. So then, friction Maharaj is saying, well, I mean, how did this person ever become Yasoda? How does a person ever become fortunate like that? And that's why then here the explanation comes to the Drona and Dara. Well, before this. Now, this is quite complex, actually, before this. Here, it's in this verse, well, the verses carry on. Rajuvacha. And then Shukadevuvacha. So Shukadev explains, well, this Vasu are like these celestial people. I think there's eight Vasus. And they're like divine people in the universe, and the chief amongst them, Drona, Dara. Well, there's different narrations. Here in the Bhagavatam, it's simply saying to follow the order of Lord Brahma. Drona, the best of the Vasus, along with his wife Dara, spoke to Lord Brahma, and so they prayed to Lord Brahma, please permit us to be born on earth with Bhagavan as our child, and who will also appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in the material world may very easily be delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life. So please, let us be born on earth. Let the Supreme Lord be born as our child, and let devotional service, you know, spread throughout the earth so that everyone may benefit. And so therefore, Lord Brahma, and as in today's verse, let it be so. Drona, equal to Bhagavan, became Nanda Maharaj, and Dara appeared as Yasoda. So, the purport. In the purport, Prabhupada mentions Krishna superficially needed a mother and father, Drona and Dara. His eternal mother and father appeared on earth before Krishna. In contrast, then Prabhupada draws a contrast now between Sutapa and Prishnagarbha, who were Vasudeva and Devaki. So Prabhupada makes that they did not undergo severe penance and austerities to become the father and mother of Krishna. This is the difference between a Nitya Siddha and a Sadhana Siddha. So what appears to be the Prabhupada saying here is that Drona and Dara were Nitya Siddha, and Sutapa and Prishni were Sadhana Siddha. Now, so many of you have been around Krishna consciousness for so many years. Nitya Siddha obviously meaning an eternally perfected person. Sadhana Siddha, a person who goes through practice and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Sadhya and sadhana, you know, you're not at the goal. You're not there. You're not perfected. Maybe far from it, but you're sadhya. You've got the sambandha gyan. This is Krishna, devotional service, and I may not be having all those feelings, but I'm practicing it very rigorously, sadhana bhakti, with the intent of having those feelings. Rupa Goswami, kriti sadhya, bhavasa sadhanavita, nitya sadasya bhavasya prakatyam iti sadhyata. Sadhana bhakti is sadhana bhakti. When all of one's activities, Prabhupada mentions the activities of the body, the words every sense, every part of ourself, our minds, they're all engaged in a way or in practices which have sadhya bhav, of which the goal or the aspiration is in specific bhava, love. Sadhya bhav. It's sadhana bhakti when we do the practice, and our goal in the practice is that we will attain bhava bhakti. I'll become a lover of Krishna. I will fall in love with Krishna. I'll feel love, I'll experience love. My heart will be of love, bhava, of a very exalted level. When that is a person's one-pointed endeavor in sadhana, It's sadhana bhakti. Maybe so many other things we're doing. You know, I'll distribute this many books. I'll milk this many cows. I'll offer this many circles. I'll chant this many beads. Isn't it? I'll do this many parikramas. I'll serve this many prasads. And all of those things, you know, obviously, the objective isn't that so many people will see me serving so many or anything like that. The objective of everything across the board, if the underlying objective and everything is not sadhya bhav, then the activity in itself is not sadhana bhakti. It's just a kind of inferior form or bhakti abhas, or it's something. But it's not the powerful thing that will, in time, give rise to bhava within our heart. That's Rupa Goswami. He's the chief principal theologian of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's according to Rupa Goswami. So here, this is a sadhana siddha, somebody who goes through all of this, who faces, you know, through practice, a determined practice, passes through all the stages, anatta nivritti, etc., etc. Nishta, becomes strong in their devotion, develops a taste. It's this going through all these, or these various levels of progress in Krishna consciousness. Then, with that embracing, where the feelings come into it, the ragmarg, this is, we can't just say, oh, that's for another life. You know, the whole purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, isn't this? A beautiful verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prem ras niryas kariti ashadan. Raga marga bhakti loka karite pracharan. Parama karuna krishna. Rasik shekhar krishna parama karuna. E dui hetu hoiti parama udgama. That the very reasons of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, or why Bhagavan came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the two are mentioned in this simple verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prem ras niryas kariti ashadan. He came specifically to taste and relish prem ras. Love as a devotee. The thing we aspire for. He himself came to taste that. That's something worth aspiring for. Rasik Shekhar, he enjoyed and relished those mellows. But also, the Raga Marga Korite Prachar, also to teach a devotion of a very, very spontaneous character. An intuitive devotion. A devotion of a lot of feeling. This was his whole thing. Kaviraj Goswami says, or he writes in Krishna's own words, every other in the world is full of this Aisharya Gyanati, or bhakti that's full of feelings of awe and reverence for God. It means everyone's approaching God as God in all of his majesty. And that's the type of devotion of this world. People are approaching a majestic God with tremendous reverence. And Krishna says, that type of devotion in no way satisfies me. An MD practicing that type of devotion will never enter Vrindavan. They'll never attain Vrindavan. They'll end up, they may go to other places, but they won't come to Vrindavan. So when the sadhana moves on, ultimately, the second part, raga, nuga, bhava, etc., sadhana siddhi, this is the way to perfection, which is love. Through sadhana. Nitya siddha, somebody who's never, who's, there's no requirement in any way. They've always been. They're the internal shakti of Krishna. They're not the tatashta shakti. the internal potency of Krishna, have been, always will be, the eternal loving devotees of Krishna. So, Prabhupada makes a distinction here in the purport, which is very interesting. The contrasting Devaki, Vasudeva and Devaki, and Nanda and Yasoda, making the point that Vasudeva and Devaki, prior Sutapa and Prishnigarbha, I'll just read it. In contrast with Sutapa and Prishnigarbha, they did not undergo severe penances and austerities to become the father and mother of Krishna. The story of Sutapa and Prishnigarbha is here in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? That in a previous age, they were performing all kinds of austerities, etc., 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 and praying. And Krishna appeared to them and said, I will be your son in how many life? Three lifetimes? As Sutapa and I'll come as Prishnigarbha, and then as of Kasyapa and Aditi, I'll come as Vaman, and then as Vasudeva and Devaki, I'll come as Maturesh Krishna. So, well, they performed great austerities. Now, the narratives about Drona and Dara, I mean, though it says they didn't perform great austerities here, the two other places where maybe you know more references to this, the Bhagavatam's reference, and then there's the Brahma Vaivarta Purana's reference, and then a text that's not overly quoted, but sometimes quoted by people in our line of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the Garga Samhita. Now, the Garga Samhita speaks about Drona and Dara, and that they performed so much austerity that when Lord Brahma appeared, they climbed out of an anthill. It says they kind of like stepped out of an anthill. Because they'd been there so long, all the ants had gathered around them, and et cetera, et cetera. And they prayed, you know, we want to see Krishna, you know, it's like we want Krishna to be our son, whatever, et cetera. And he said, well, I can't really grant you all that, but you can take birth in Brajabhumi and Krishna will be your son. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, a very authentic source, it mentions Drona and Dara, and it says, like, for thousands of years they were doing austerities, penances, devotion. And then they just wanted to see Krishna face to face. And after thousands of years, they still hadn't seen Krishna face to face, and they thought, that's it, we're going to enter the lake of fire. And when they reached that point of wanting to enter the lake of fire, then an unembodied voice called to them and said, don't. But although I can't give such a great blessing that you'll be the parents, you'll see Krishna, I'll bless you, you take birth in Vrindavan, and Krishna will appear as your child. And then they appear in Vrindavan. So some slight difference. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it mentions an unembodied voice. In the Bhagavatam, it mentions Lord Brahma. In the Garga Samhita, it mentions Lord Brahma. Okay. So no doubt Drona and Dara are Nanda and Yasoda. That is, we can definitely accept that. However, if Nanda and Yasoda are Nitya Siddha, why all this tapasya, all this thing, Drona, Dara, and everything in our previous lives? Why? I mean, if they're eternal, the eternal mother and father appearing on planet Earth, why all this? What did they? It seems to infer that they were sadhana siddha. Isn't it? It seems to infer they were sadhana siddha. That they performed all these things and thus they became the parents. But the parents have always been the parents. We can never become the parent. And that's clearly established in Rasa Shastra. There's only one. There's only Nanda and Yasoda. There's only one Vasudeva and Devaki. You can develop parental love. You can develop parental feelings. But you can't become Nandan Yasoda. But it appears from here that some Dronandara, great Vasus, did all kinds of tapasya and became Nandan Yasoda. Same with Sutapa and Prishnagarbha. They also did all these tapasyas. Now, I guess Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this subject, which I think helps us to understand what's being said here. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Drona and Dara, yeah, were Vasus, yes, did engage in all kinds of austerity, but their whole thing was devotion, 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 devotion. They wanted Vatsalya Prem. They wanted to love God as a child. They wanted to love Krishna as a child. Their whole purpose of their entire endeavor was to love Krishna as a child, to feel that Vatsalya Prem, parental affection. He mentions that they, with that aspiration, actually merged into the bodies of Nandan Yasoda, the eternal Nitya Siddha's archetypical parents of God. So they weren't Nanda and Yasoda. They merged within the bodies. Now, whether they were a partial manifestation of Nanda Yasoda, or whether they were something quite separate that then they were separate. Because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also mentions that they separated from the body and they became people in Brajabhumi, ultimately, the eternal Brajabhumi. They became the inhabitants with parental feelings, like Yasoda and Nanda, but they weren't Yasoda and Nanda. Okay, so Drona and Dara, is it going okay? I'm trying to stop myself getting confused. That's the main thing I'm doing, struggling with here. Drona and Dara, okay, I'm going to say it really, this may sound controversial. Drona and Dara weren't Nanda and Yasoda. Drona and Dara wanted love like Nanda and Yasoda so much that even Brahma couldn't give them that. Only Nanda and Yasoda could give them that. So they merged with Nanda and Yasoda. They perfected that devotion in the bodies of Nanda and Yasoda. And when the whole pastime and Leela wrapped up, they appeared in the eternal Brajabhumi as devotees with parental feelings for Krishna. Is that okay? No. This is the difference. Yes, Devaki and Vasudev, also the parents of Krishna. The real parents of Krishna? Nandan Yasoda, the parents of Krishna. Who are the real parents of Krishna? That's the whole thing here with Pariksit Maharaj just saying, I mean, Devaki just had Krishna, but he grew on Yasoda's milk. He grew up in Yasoda's arms. He lived and grew his whole childhood with Yasoda, and only after he became a wrestler, then he went to see Devaki. And what is the fortune of this person? The background of Vasudeva and Devaki is slightly different. They are Nitya Siddha. However, and they appeared birth after birth, and Krishna was always their son in all of that journey. Okay? The Sutapa, he's not here today. Sutapa and Prishni. What was the point I was going to make? Sutapa and Prishni were partial manifestations of Vasudeva and Devaki. That's the difference. They were partial manifestations of Vasudeva and Devaki. And their full manifestation is Vasudeva and Devaki. And so when they were doing their tapasya was different from Drona and Dara. Because Drona and Dara, you're going to miss the most important part of this now, right? Because Drona and Dara, their devotion, Drona and Dara were like, we want just to love Krishna as a Vatsalya Prem was their whole meditation. Vasudeva and Devaki were different. Their devotion was mixed with Aishwarya Gyan. Their devotion was mixed with the veneration of God, knowledge of the supreme glories of God, and also the charm of Krishna as a child. And they carried that with them from in each stage and in every life, and even when they were Vasudeva and Devaki. So when Krishna appeared to Vasudeva and Devaki, he appeared in a forearm form, and they all bowed down. Yasoda never bowed down to Krishna. She woke up and Krishna was lying there beside her. She just saw these beautiful, you know, cheeks and beautiful lips and beautiful face, and she just adored that baby son. Devaki was on her knees praying. Vasudeva was on his knees praying. Because though they loved Krishna as a child, or as her child, she couldn't separate thoughts of her child from God. Like here, Krishna showed Yasoda the universe in her mouth, his mouth. She was like, wow! God, help my son! You know, is this my son? She became completely bewildered. But very quickly, again, she just thought, let's just get some mantras chanted. Let's just get some prayers done. Let's get the najar done to get rid of all the evil things that might be happening to my child. Those thoughts just came to this. Prabhupada said, like straw and boiling milk, they come up and go away very quickly. But for Sutapa and Prishni, it was there with them all the time. So even after Krishna had wrestled with Chanur and Mustika, and he was to be reunited with Devaki and Vasudev, Krishna and Balaram saw them, the parents, and thought, our parents. And Vasudev and Devaki were like, our son. And they were like, can you just give us a hug? And so Maya came over Vasudev and Devaki for a bit so that they could just embrace God and treat God like their child. So they were angsas of Prishni Sutapa. They were angsas of Vasudeva and Devaki through each life. And it's mentioned that it was mixed. Why it mentions here, like it said, this is what I understand from this now, because it's saying Drona and Dara didn't have to undergo severe penances like Vasudeva or like Sutapa and Prishni. The reason it's mentioned here is that I'm convinced this is based on Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's purport, where Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that because of the austerity, pranayama and yoga and everything that was with Prishni and Sutapa, then the Aishwarya Gyan, it was just part of all of that. Because that's the kind of devotees they were. That wasn't present with Drona and Dara. They were fixed on Vatsalya Prem. They were fixed completely in unmixed bhakti. Two types of prema, Keval Prem, Mahatma Gyan Prem. Keval Prem means Yasoda's love for Krishna. Mahatma Gyan Prem means love which is always mixed with knowledge of the majesty of God, knowledge of the godness of God all the time. The Aishwarya, the glories, it's always mixed with it. This was the difference. That's why it mentions here, severe penance. They both did severe penance. But saying that one did severe penance, the other didn't, it was just that they were doing, their penances were not akuntic bhakti. their thing was bhakti, but it was mixed with practices which were all around the Aishwarya Gat. So difficult to see all these things in just in English, but the majesty, the understanding of the majesty of Krishna. And therefore, they were separate. Therefore, also, Drona and Dara were Nitya Siddhas. Sutapa and Prishni. Drona and Dara were Sadhana Siddhi. Prishni and Sutapa were Nitya Siddha. I'm going to finish there. I'm reading it there. I mean, how does all that apply to us in our lives? That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, us here right now in our lives about to go and have porridge for breakfast. Prasad. The ultimate thing, right, is in simple, Rupa Goswami, you're all familiar with the text. Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananyu Smrityukramena Rasana Manasi Niyoja Tistan Braje Tadanuragi Junanugami Kalam Nayad Akilamit Yupadesha Saram. The Saram, the Upadesha Amrita is the essence of all instructions, right? All Upadesh. The Saram of Upadesha Amrita is this verse. Upadesha Saram. And that is that just like the charm of these leelas, the charm of these pastimes of Krishna as a child, that nama rupa charitadi, to be completely absorbed day and night in relishing and tasting the divine mellows or loving relations of these pastimes of Krishna. Yeah? Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smrityu kramena manasi, continuously thinking in mind, reciting by words and hearing these very, very tasteful pastimes of Krishna. Then, tistan braji, to feel ourselves a resident of this place. And Yasoda, Nanda, the cowherd boys, or even the gopis. Tistan braji tad anuragi junanugami. To try to love like they loved. Like they love. To follow the way, to follow their way. To follow their path of love in the way they loved. Tistan braji tad anuragi junanugami. The anuragis junanugami follow their ways. This is the essence of all instructions. But things come before us which make it difficult for us to do that. We've got too many questions. And our questions are philosophical, theological. And if those questions aren't addressed, then we won't be able to just do that. Isn't it? We won't be able to just give ourselves to that feeling, give ourselves to those people. Just love in that way without doubt. So just in order to do the most simplistic thing, to just love Krishna like Yasoda loved Krishna. So much knowledge is required for us. That we can convince ourselves to just embrace the simplistic life of devotion. I guess that's how it relates. Then we can say, all right, okay, that's as far as I can go with that. Drona, Dara, Prishni, whatever. Main thing is, boy, they had Vatsalya Prem and they exhibited it. And the way Krishna makes things for, the way Yasoda makes things for Krishna, I want to be like that in the kitchen. That's how I want to be. I want to just be like that. I want to just, you know. Just once I was out on, when I used to, years gone past, I was out collecting adverts for the Janmashtami magazine. And I knocked on a door. And these older Punjabi ladies opened the door. And they both looked intoxicated. And they said, come in, Hare Krishna, come in, come in. And we went into the lounge, and what they were doing was, they had a coffee table in the middle of the lounge, and they had the previous year's Janmashtami magazine. And they were themselves singing songs to Kanaya going around the table, and they were pressing, like, laddu on the mouth of Krishna on the magazine. And I thought, wow. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. And I memorized 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. It's as simple as that. But that's not something. You know, just now I was in Vrindavan. And in the Radha Vallabh temple, there's a whole big group of ladies. Most with less than half their teeth. And some with big, thick spectacles on, with sellotape on the side, wrapped up in their saris. And they're just sitting there in a big group, Ganayarati, you know, singing the songs and singing away there and everything. It's yogi namapi sarvesham matketinantaratmana. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. But when you've grown up, and in school, all this, you're kind of, what do you say, post-enlightenment, you're a post-enlightenment person who tries to think about, thinks they can understand everything rationally. At least Shukadev Goswami is giving something. He's giving something to just pacify that rational head that feels it needs to put things consecutively into boxes that form a hierarchy that then constitutes ontological truth. Everything's within it and it's concluded somewhere. Now what do? Take some laddu and push it on the mouth. Thank you, Gambhiyan. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.